Depending on who you listen to aside from me, you might think that Barbie is the most woke movie ever made that is out to destroy the Torah, the Bible, that's out to destroy organized religion and mandom and everything else. We usually do movie reviews at 4:45, and today is no different when we'll be diving into Oppenheimer.
Yeah, but the Enheimer of the Barbenheimer exactly. Double feature.
The second half. Number one, the people who are marketing Barbie did a brilliant job. The fact that people are cosplaying at the thing, everybody's dressing pink, they got those boxes out front of every screening so you could take the pictures. It is a media phenomenon. And the people at, what was it, Warner Brothers or the other one?
It's Warner Brothers,
right. Did a phenomenal job, and you wonder, why can't you do this for superhero movies? But that's neither here nor there. They did a great job with the marketing of this thing and then embracing this online trend of the Barbenheimer thing. Brilliant. This movie is what? Already up to what? Over $160 million now?
Yes, sir.
That's crazy. That's absolutely crazy. Especially when you're head-to-head with another big opening. Oppenheimer brought in what? $85 million this weekend? That's a huge haul.
First time in history that two movies have opened the same weekend to over $80 million.
That's crazy.
Hollywood wins.
Perhaps it's the fact that nothing else is out that anybody wants to see.
Sure,
nobody's
sure.
Got it. But the media surrounding this, it's crazy. Now, let me tell you something. Mike turned me on to this way back when we started working together. The question we always ask ourselves about movie reviews is, who is this movie for? And I'm going to tell you something. This movie is not made for me. It's not made for me, and I can't get mad about it because it's not designed for me. It's for girls, women, I should say, who grew up in our generation and older, who liked Barbies, who liked playing with Barbies, whose brothers might have taken their Barbies and thrown them into a pool, whose brothers might have taken their Barbies and lit their hair on fire, who were playing with the Barbies and said, you know what? I want Barbie to be president. I want Barbie to be a pilot. I want Barbie to be all these things. I want Barbie to drive the car. And Ken, you're sitting over there. And by the way, those of you who think that might be sexist, that's no different than us dudes who, with the G.I. Joes, were we excited about getting a Scarlet from Grandma? Were we excited about getting a Lady J or a Baroness? Oh, she came with the vehicle, so we'll take that one. But, okay, some of you did some dirty things with your Scarlet or your Lady J or whatever. We'll move past that for a minute, but we play with them no different. This is for the boys have cooties, girls have cooties generation. That is who this movie is for. Is there woke stuff in it? Yes. Can I ignore it? Sure. As a parent, you decide if you want your kid exposed to that every single day on Disney Plus, in pop culture, anything else. I laughed at this movie. I can laugh at the jokes about the patriarchy. I don't think society is going to get destroyed by a movie. I got to tell you, my wife and a bunch of other women in that theater came out of the thing crying. Dudes, don't yuck somebody else's yum. Do we care what women reviewers say about the G.I. Joe movie? No. Does that sound sexist? Let it sound sexist, but I'm going to tell you something, okay? This movie was not made for you and me. This movie was made for girls. And at what point do you say there's a difference between chivalry and chauvinism? Mike, we were both laughing at certain parts of this movie. We enjoyed certain parts of this movie. We enjoyed a lot of this movie.
You know
I'd
what?
Say.
And I'll save this for our Barbie review, not today, but next week. But you and I kind of part ways a bit in that, like, I love the movie. I like everything about it.
So that's the thing right here. Am I mad at Mike about that? Is Mike mad at me? No. There are plenty of things I liked about it, but the fact that this has become a cultural civil war over a movie, it's a movie. Dudes, why are you going to see Barbie in the first place? We have to go because we do movie reviews,
right?
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
And when our wives want to see a movie, or my wife does, we go see the movie. I have to go see the theater camp movie, right?
Sure,
we're going to go
sure.
see that. I kind of want to see it. Let's be real about that.
Well, in our last little bit here as we get ready to close out this segment, can I make fun of your best good friend Ben Shapiro for a moment? He tweets about being dragged to the movie by his producers.
Yeah.
First of all, that's a good message about your own autonomy, getting dragged to a movie. Just own that you wanted to watch the movie. But he's also dressed like Ken from the dance sequence.
So here's the thing about that. I saw how he was dressed to people saying that. I don't know if he's actually dressed like that. I dress like that sometimes.
You saw the movie.
I saw the movie, but that's a little much. That one's a little bit of a stretch. But look.
It's not, though.
You and I went for the fact that we knew we were going to get get content out of this, and let's see what the big hubbub is about.
Yes, quite right? So.
Is there a trans Barbie? Yes. Did we know? No. We had no idea till after the movie.
No, we had to get told later.
We didn't know about that map of China business. If you go, you can overlook some of this stuff, right? If you want to have fun, you can go. And at the end of the day, it's a movie. When you immerse yourself in pop culture, this is what's going to happen. Decide if you want it in your house or not. We'll do our full movie review next week. And Oppenheimer at 4:45. I never thought I'd be saying that Oppenheimer is more woke than Barbie, but yeah, I actually believe so. Now, first, let's get the runtime out of the way. This movie was so flippin' long, I think the actual Manhattan Project was shorter than this movie. This movie could have been done in about halfway through, I'd say. And then they went off on this tangent about nuclear proliferation and whether or not we should have dropped the bomb. Let me tell you something. There's a good chance that if we hadn't dropped the bomb, myself and many others would not be here. My grandfather was stationed in the Pacific. Do I know what would have happened? Of course not. None of us do. But let me tell you this little tidbit I saw online, didn't believe it, and had to Google it. Do you know what the Purple Heart medals we have today? A lot of them were printed during World War II in anticipation for the invasion of the Japanese islands. 500,000 of them, as a matter of fact. We've used up 370,000 since World War II, and we still have 120,000 of them left. The Japanese, let's not forget, at the time, were carving their way through China, raping and massacring people as they went, and then telling their citizens that if the U.S. came, we were going to do that to them. Let's remember history for a minute here of what happened. If we had to invade all the Japanese islands, how many people might we have lost? So do I think we should have dropped that bomb? Yes. And unlike Nicole Hannah Jones and all the revisionist history out there talking about, oh, no, they were already defeated. No, they weren't. According to most scholars, what they say was, and experts at the time, they would have fought tooth and nail because they thought they were dying for the emperor to keep America out of it. It's as simple as that. Getting back to the movie itself. What bothered me most about the movie is this political nonsense they have at the end, which has nothing to do with the original plot. Up until the bomb goes off, I'm in it. And then after the bomb goes off, I'm out. The score was great. The performances were great. But it couldn't save you from this clunker of a movie. And the reviews I'm seeing out there, it seems like people are defending it because they put all their chips down on it, or because they like Christopher Nolan, and they're afraid to admit that this movie is a clunker. Mike, what'd you think?
It's a slog. It is a ponderous, pretentious, self-indulgent slog. And we've talked earlier, Ari, about Christopher Nolan fandom, but I think this movie is mismarketed. It's like, from the director of Dark Knight and Interstellar and Inception, here comes this action-packed movie about people talking in rooms.
Yeah.
And I think Christopher Nolan needs to get put into movie jail for a few, because basically he left Warner Brothers to make this movie over at Universal, and they basically gave him the blank check to do whatever he wanted. So he's like, I want to film this on film and on IMAX. And we saw some of that hubris in our press screening, and we do want to thank our friends at Allied Global Marketing for inviting us out to the show. But basically, they're showing it on film, and our film broke halfway through. Now, that has nothing to do with the theater. There was also some problems with the air conditioning and all that. And it is maybe an exercise in the theatrical experience influencing the thoughts on the film. I don't know that for sure. But the point that he was so insistent, Christopher Nolan, on this thing being shown on film, they put a print in a projector in an auditorium that hadn't been used for film in a long time. And the result is the film broke halfway through.
Right. They said they hadn't used that projector in like 10 years, something insane.
Something
like that.
Dumb like that. And my point being is that, like, you know, it's like, oh, see it in IMAX, see it in 70 millimeter IMAX. There are only like 19 theaters in the world where you can see it in true 70 millimeter IMAX, like the giant, like, 600 mile trays that weigh like 11 miles long, 600 pounds, whatever, including The Seattle Science Center is not one of those places where you could see it. They are showing a digital representation of the movie. So for our IMAX to still not have like the truest form, that tells me it's overly pretentious. The movie is long. It becomes, hey, it's that guy, the movie. I'm glad you liked the score because I sure didn't. I found it to be incredibly intrusive and distracting. And I kind of part ways with you about some of the performance. Cillian Murphy is going to win an Oscar for this performance. It is a full and complete performance until you get to some of the old age makeup. Then,
don't work. Oh, I think boy. I age sitting there. Yeah, that took so long.
That'll give you the chills. But a lot of the other performances from the cavalcade of cameos became distracting and really not good. Robert Downey Jr. is having a ham sandwich this whole time.
Okay.
That performance sucks, my
Robert
friend.
Downey Jr.'s character and performance are so superfluous, they don't need to be in this movie.
Yes.
His part, his role could have been summed up in one line of a postscript after they dropped the bomb. There are so many moments they could have said, we're done with this, but the going back and forth between different timelines was confusing also.
Well, you got to Nolan it up. And you know, and that's kind of my thing. It's like they're presenting this as this large screen spectacle, and it just isn't.
No.
I would have appreciated the movie a whole lot more if it was just a straight-on Oppenheimer biopic. My recommendation for this movie is I don't think it's particularly bad, but watch it and on a Sunday afternoon, probably as you're nursing a hangover, so you can dip in and out of consciousness. And I mean, don't go to the theater and certainly don't watch it in large format.
No.
There is nothing there.
There is nothing. One scene. There is one scene that deserves that, and it's still a question. There is one scene, and you can guess which one it is. There is one scene that deserves the large format, and that's it for the whole movie.
Yeah.
That's really it. So, I mean, this would have made a great 10-part miniseries. And you know something else?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah, at no point did anybody say to Christopher Nolan, maybe you want to leave that on the cutting room floor.
Yeah.
This is not just the director's cut. It's like the extra special extended director's cut.
Yep.
Yeah. Anyway, so we just both say skip it. Watch it at home.
Watch it at home.
Yes.